for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, November the 25th, 2016. Jeremy Gee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on the wise and foolish virgins. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
It says, and while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins came and said, Lord, Lord, open up for us. And he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. My friend Milt Green used to say, I do not know you. It says, and he said, be on the alert then. You do not know the day or the hour. And so the foolish virgins did not go to heaven, but they thought they were the bride of Christ. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching out the innermost parts. They were sitting under the word. Proverbs 6:23 says, the commandment is the lamp and the teaching is light. Psalms 119, verse 10, verse 105 says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, Job, in speaking about the wicked, this is what he said about the wicked. This might be a good prayer to pray for the wicked in the days ahead of what's coming against our new president, what's coming against America to bring us into a one-world government. I'm thankful that God extended his mercy. Job 18, verse 5 says, indeed, the light of the wicked goes out, and the flame of his fire does not give light, gives no light. The light of his tent is darkened, and his lamp goes out above him. Years ago, I was sitting in my prayer room, and I have white walls, and I have two windows, and a door that's got a window in it. And I had four lights that were 150 watts each, and I had a lamp here that had 150 watts, and I remember saying, it is dark in here. And that's when the Lord showed me, you know, wickedness in my bloodline, and I took accountability for the wickedness. Not that I haven't done things that are wicked, but we don't know what's back there in our bloodline. But it was like the lamp above him goes out, and I'm thinking, it's dark in here, and there's all this light. So this might be something you want to repent over. It says, the light in his tent is darkened, and his lamp goes out above him. His vigorous stride is shortened, and his own scheme brings him down. For he is thrown into the net by his own feet and steps on his webbing. A snare seizes him by the heel, and a trap shuts on him. A noose for him is hidden in the ground, and a trap for him on the path. All around him terrors frighten him and harass him at every step. His strength is famished, and calamity is ready at his side. His skin is devoured by disease, and the firstborn of death devours his limbs. That kind of sounds like cancer. He's torn from the security of his tent, and they march before him, the king of terrors. There dwells in him, in his tent, nothing of his. Brimstone is scattered on his habitation. His roots are dried out below, and his branch is cut off above. Memory of him perishes from the earth, and he has no name abroad. He's driven from light into darkness, and chased from the inhabited world. And Mark, we pray that for George Soros, that you'll chase him from the inhabited world. It says, and he has no offspring or posterity among his people, nor any survivor where he has sojourned. Those in the West are appalled at his face, and those in the East are seized by horror. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and his place, and the place of him who does not know God. Proverbs 21:4 says, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin, and the lamp of the wicked is put out. Does the body say the lamp of the body is the eye? So it's saying the lamp of the wicked is put out. Could that be a cause for eye problems? I've repented over these scriptures. It says the light of the righteous rejoices. God lights my lamp, it says in Psalms 18:28. God lights my lamp and illumines my darkness. Lord, would you light our lamp and illumine our darkness? Proverbs 31 says, a wise woman, her lamp does not go out in time of darkness. Luke 11, verse 3 says, therefore, if your whole body is full of light, there's no dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined, and then as when a lamp illumines your body. Could that be the glory of God illumining you? There's a scripture in the old, I don't know what scripture it was, but it was in Proverbs. It was in the old Living Bible that says your face will be a mirror that brightly reflects the glory of God. Lord, make our faces mirrors that brightly reflect your glory. Matthew 6:22 says, the eye is the lamp of the body, and if the eye is clear, which means unadulterated, it means my eyes are not going after idols. This is a root to eye problems, and I've repented over these scriptures. That the eye is the lamp of the body, and if the eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, which means toilsome, and so if we're toiling, we're striving, we're stressing, we're toiling after the wind, it says in Ecclesiastes, if we're toiling after our idols, our eye is bad. And your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in wealth or God in mammon. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there will be many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there will be few that find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And you know, if you don't love the truth, ask God to give you a love of the truth. If you don't love the truth, the Bible says you'll be sent a strong delusion so that you cannot be saved. It says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, are they? Are figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. And you say, well, we're not trees. Well, Psalms talks about the trees of the field clap their hands. He's not talking about trees. He's talking about us. Or it says in Psalms 1, how blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of scoffers or stand in the place of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And day and night he meditates upon God's word, and he always produces good fruit. Paraphrase, it says his leaf will never wither and everything he does will prosper. Is your life prospering? It's a good question to ask ourselves. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. And there's a whole other teaching on the tree cutters. They're demons that cut you down if you don't produce fruit. In fact, look up the scripture in a New American Standard. I don't know if it's in the other translations like that, but look up tree cutters. They're demons. Matthew 7, so then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now he clarifies it and tells you who will enter, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? And in your name, wasn't I a good deliverance minister? Didn't I cast out demons? And didn't I perform many miracles in your name? And then he will say to, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, there's a difference between sinning and getting it right versus practicing it and never dealing with it. And then it goes on to say, if you hear these words about mine and you do it, you'll be like a wise man that built his house on a rock. And it goes on and says, if you don't do them, then you have built your house on the sand and the flood's going to sweep you away. We already read that scripture, so it's Matthew 7. Matthew 24, just a few more scriptures. Now, I don't know everything that Matthew 24, everything that it means, but I know enough to know that I want to be ready. I want to be ready by God's grace. It says, Jesus came from the temple and was going away when the disciples came up to point out to him the temple, being temple buildings to him. And this is the words of Jesus. And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon the other, which will not be torn down. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will happen and when will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. And I can tell you, it seems like to me that the end of the age is pretty close. We don't know the day or hour, but we better be people that have got our lamps alight in these days. And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name and say, I'm the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of the wars. See to it that you're not frightened, for these things must take place, but it's not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdom, and various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and the love of and will hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now I want you to know the disciples, God's people, are still there, right? It says, for this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and whoever is on the housetops may not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. I don't understand that. Maybe somebody here can explain that to me. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, and we're still here. There will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will be. In other words, there'll never be a calamity or a disaster like this ever happened before or ever will happen again. It says, unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. So you see the elect still there. Okay, it says, then if anyone says to me, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe them. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, the very elect. And that's why you better be a lover of truth, or you'll be sent a delusion. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Behold, he's in the inner rooms. Do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Now, there's going to be two suppers. There's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there's going to be a supper where the beast eats the harlot. Because in Luke, it says where the disciples said, well, Lord, where he says there's going to be one taken and one left. And the disciples said, it, I believe it was in Luke 21, says, well, where are you taking them, Lord? And he said that the one that gets taken first is going to be eaten by the vultures. It says, wherever the corpse is, there will the vultures gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, oh my goodness, this keeps jumping. Anyway, at the tribulation of these days, the sun will be darkened. Notice we're still here. And the moon will not be giving off its light. And the stars will fall from heaven, from the sky. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then will come the coming of the Son of Man. He will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a mighty trumpet, and they will gather together the elect from four corners of the wind, from one end of the sky to the other. That's when we're going to get gathered. Now, I'm not trying to cause any kind of a controversy, because some people want to believe that we're going to get snatched out of here. And you know what? I hope to God they're right, that I'm going to be ready regardless. You know what I'm saying? But that doctrine is a dangerous doctrine, because people think, well, I'm not going to go through anything. God's going to take me out of here. Let me tell you something. No, he's not. It says, after the stars fall from heaven, the moon quits shining, and the sun quits shining, then will come the coming of the Son of Man. And then he'll catch us up to meet him in the air. And that's the real rapture. There's only one, not three. It says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches are already become tender and it puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you will see all these things and recognize that it is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Now Noah built an ark, and when the flood came, God, Noah and his sons were in the ark with all the animals. And the word Noah means rest. See, Noah's ark was floating on the flood, and people were safe inside the ark, which is the type of Christ. And you and I are safe if we've entered God's rest, because Noah means rest. And God says, see to it that you enter my rest. In Deuteronomy 28, unrest is a curse. And it's a curse because the only place you find rest is where God says, and Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. You'll find rest for your soul. And that's a picture of being on the potter's wheel. What does the clay do? It rests on the potter's wheel. And when the clay's on the potter's wheel, he's in the hands of the potter. Is that right? And so no matter what comes on this earth, we're safe if we've entered God's rest. And you know, there's lots of things we have, all of us have a land to possess. There's struggles, and we overcome it, and then he'll show us another one and another one, and we rest every time we get the victory. But God wants us to live in a state of rest. And if you're a person that can never rest, God says he'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him, because you're trusting in him. It says, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. They were in those days before the flood, they were drinking, making merry, marrying and giving marriage until Noah entered the ark. And God's going to protect the saints. in all those tribulation that's going to come on this earth, if we're in God's refuge, we're safe. God's not going to come. His wrath is not going to come on those that love the Lord. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through terrible things. But guess what? God's grace is sufficient. My old grandmother used to say, when I first got saved, I read the book of Job. And I said, "Oh, grandmother, I don't think that I could go through what Job went through. Oh, God, please." and my wise old grandmother said, "Jerry, God won't put anything on you that He won't give you the grace to go through. He'll never put more on you than you can take. His grace is sufficient." And I believe that's a word for these last days. And I haven't had many dreams that I've remembered over the years, but when I first got saved, I dreamed that it was the end of the world, and the world was on fire. And I was up here looking down on the calamity of the world. And I really know that that was a dream from God. And that's what's going to happen. God's going to protect you if you are walking in covenant with Him. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through trials. Doesn't mean that you're not going to go through hard things. But God will be there to take care of you. He is your refuge and strength. If you walk the highway of holiness, no lie, no fool, no unclean can walk there. It says, "And they did not understand until the flood took them all away. And so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken and one left." And then in Luke, it explains where they're going to be taken, to the place where the vultures eat them. In Revelation, it says the beast eats the harlot. And the harlot is the church member that's living after idolatry. "Therefore, be on the alert. You do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken in." And that's where, you know, when Jesus said He's coming like a thief. He's not the thief, but He's allowing anybody that's not under God's refuge is out here. He's out in the thief's territory. "For this reason you do not know, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will. Who then is that faithful, sensible slave whom his master shall put in charge of all of his household to give them the food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if that evil slave thinks in his heart that my master is not coming for a long time and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come at a day when he does not expect him and an hour which he does not know, and will cut him to pieces and assign him to that place with the hypocrites." The hypocrites are those people that say they love Jesus, but they're living after their flesh. "In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Luke 12:3 says, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight." And the way we do that is to walk in repentance and live a lifestyle of confessing your sin and turning from it in Jesus' name. And it's a process that takes a lifetime. And so that's overcoming. That's what it means to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In Romans 13:12, it says, "The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, lay aside all the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." The armor of light is the whole armor of God that Deborah talked about. We put it on through walking in repentance. We have on the armor of light in the name of Jesus. Jesus. And Lord, we hold the shield of faith over America in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you, Lord. We praise you for your goodness in the name of Jesus. Now, would you please stand up and ask the Lord to show you, have you been a wise virgin or a foolish virgin in the name of Jesus? And I hope you've been repenting as we go along. Ask the Lord, "Lord, search my heart, test my thoughts. Show me, have I been simple, silly, easily seduced? Have I been enduring to the end? Have I had my lamps alight? Am I showing forth your glory?" I ask, Lord, for the truth that sets me free. And then just repent, and then when you sit down, we'll do deliverance, and then we'll be through. Pray with me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Forgive me for being a foolish virgin, lacking sense, being ill considered, unwise, foolish speech, lacking forethought and caution. Forgive me for being simple, silly, and easily seduced. In the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for not being willing to hear so that I can increase learning. Forgive me for not heeding instruction. God, forgive me for being a fool that won't take correction and hating the people that try to correct me. Forgive me for perfectionism. Forgive me for not receiving instruction so that I could be wiser. Forgive me for not receiving your commands. Forgive me for not storing up knowledge in your word. Forgive me for not guarding my mouth. Forgive me for not being a tree of life or a soul winner. Forgive me for not giving a rip. Forgive me for not caring. Forgive me for not listening to correction. Forgive me that my tongue is not brought healing, that I've spoken like the thrust of rashly like the thrust of a sword. Forgive me for being a babbling fool. Forgive me for being a scoffer. Forgive me for not accepting discipline. God, forgive me for not teaching my mouth, not teaching others, not being a tree of life, not being a fountain of life. Lord, forgive me for not walking with wise men. Forgive me for being a companion of fools. Forgive me for hanging with the wrong kind of people. God, forgive me for not building up my spiritual house, my physical house. Forgive me for not humbling myself. I humble myself now, Lord. Forgive me for not turning away from evil. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for not having the ability to make knowledge acceptable. God, forgive me for not spreading your word. Forgive me for speaking death. Forgive me for not being willing to walk the narrow way, deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. God, forgive me for being a respecter of persons, being prejudiced against different races. God, forgive me for being prejudiced against the rich, prejudiced against the poor. Forgive me for showing partiality. Forgive me for not loving my neighbor and loving you with my whole heart. Forgive me, Lord, for not teaching my mouth. God, forgive me for partaking of intoxicating things. In Jesus' name, drugs, alcohol. God, forgive me in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for being drunked up, intoxicated on prescription drugs. Forgive me for being drunked up, intoxicated on illegal drugs. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for not being wise. Forgive me for not receiving counsel. Lord, forgive me for not knowing my authority and scattering the wicked and driving a threshing wheel over them. Forgive me for being afraid of the devil, fearful of exercising my authority. Forgive me for not having spiritual treasure in my dwelling and not being filled with your Holy Spirit. Forgive me for lacking discernment and not exercising the power I have to use your weapons to tear down strongholds. Forgive me for not scaling or discerning the city and bringing down strongholds in which they trust in them. Lord, forgive me that my heart hasn't been directed to your way. I haven't loved the truth. Lord, give me a love of the truth. Are y'all praying? In the name of Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not seeking wise guidance and counsel. God, forgive me for being a respecter of persons. Forgive me for not being a wise reprover. Forgive me for not turning away evil, turning away anger. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for being a person that practices anger. And Lord, I want my wounds healed. Forgive me for building my house on the sand in the name of Jesus. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to illumine my lamp. I ask you to turn on the light of my life. In the name of Jesus, bring me out of darkness and bring me into your marvelous light. Forgive me for wickedness that would cause my lamp to go out above me. Forgive me for having eyes full of adultery. Forgive me for toiling after my idols. Forgive me for stressing out and being anxious and what if this and what if that. Forgive me for trying to tell you, the shepherd, what to do when you're the one that takes care of me, takes care of my every need. And I ask you to forgive me for worrying. And Lord, thank you that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Would you light my path and illumine my darkness? in the name of Jesus. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for wickedness, for doing wicked things, and I forgive my wicked forefathers in the name of Jesus. And Lord, all my forefathers that are burning in hell right now that never would repent, I break soul ties with them and I forgive them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I break soul ties with all of my wicked forefathers that are burning in hell right now. I cut and sever every cord of control, linking my soul to wicked forefathers. I call back my soul and spirit from them, send back their souls and spirits to them, exchange their image for the image of Christ in Jesus' name. And Lord, I put on the armor of light. I want my light to rejoice in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for haughty eyes, a proud heart. Forgive me for my lamp being full of sin. Forgive me in the name of Jesus for not being a wise woman that builds my house. God, I ask you to turn the light on in the name of Jesus. Fill me with the light of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And Lord, I put on the whole armor of God. I put on the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I take up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and I quench all the missiles of the evil one. I take accountability. Lord, I don't want to be a foolish virgin that you shut out from heaven because I thought I knew you, but I don't know you. Lord, if I'm one of those unwise virgins, I give my life to you today. I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. I get on your potter's wheel. I take my hands off my life. Thank you, Lord, that you've scheduled every day of my life before I was even born in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I take accountability. Pray for me. I take accountability for every sin I've confessed all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the sins I've confessed. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. I command every demonic spirit that came in, all spirits of foolishness, folly, come out. Babbling, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of darkness in the name of Jesus, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of complacency, all spirits of laziness, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of hatred and strife and bitterness and unforgiveness and torture and torment and adultery and fornication, come out now. Every lying spirit, all unbelief and doubt, come out now in Jesus' name. I break your power. All spirits of lawlessness, come out. Out in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Come out in Jesus' name. Cough it out. Blow it out. Come out now. All spirits of stubbornness, self-will, hardness of heart, unrest. I break the curse of unrest in Jesus' name. All spirits that came into building the house on the sand. All I command in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of flooding that's sweeping them away in the name of Jesus. Lord, we hold up a standard in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. All spirits of fainting, wanting to give up and quit, not enduring to the end. All spirits that would hinder us from enduring to the end. In the name of Jesus, you come out. All spirits of folly, foolishness, come out. Easily seduced, sensuality, come out. In the name of Jesus, spirits of death, we break your power. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of sickness, distress, disease, infirmity, come out. Deaf, dumb spirits, come out in Jesus' name. Scoffing spirits, scoffers, come out in the name of Jesus. Bitterness, resentment, anger, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You know, if you still think about people that hurt you and you're still thinking about it, maybe you need to examine, are you bitter toward them still? All spirits of bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, hatred, come out. All spirits that delude us, deluding influence, come out in the name of Jesus. We break your power. Any spirits that would sweep them away, come out. Weakness, tiredness, fatigue, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, depression, despair, despondency, hopelessness, come out now in Jesus' name. Homosexuality, adultery, fornication, pornography demons, come out. Masturbation, we come out. All spirits that would cause a person to walk around in a state of arousal, physical because of pornography. Come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Come out. Beelzebub, come out. Lord of the flies, come out in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washeth white as snow. Lord, fill me with your light and truth, with your Holy Ghost power, with a spirit of truth, a love of the truth. Every lying spirit has to leave every person in this room in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in America. Thank you for hope, Lord. Thank you, God, for another chance. Lord, don't let us blow it this next time in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. And Lord, give us a peaceful night's sleep. Let us feel like we slept 100 hours, wake up refreshed and renewed in Jesus' name, and be here at 6 o'clock prayer meeting in Jesus' name. Bless you. Love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.